And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues, and more. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Owen Catto. Owen is the Senior Community Educator and Executive Officer of the Regional Men's Health Initiative in Western Australia. Owen is a farmer's son from Morwa, WA, a town in the Midwest, approximately 370 kilometres north of Perth. And after completing a Bachelor of Business in Agriculture, Owen worked for the Dairy Industry Authority as a research officer. He then farmed in partnership with his father for 18 years in Morwa while also operating a farm consultancy business. After selling the family farm in 2005, Owen and his family travelled across Australia, and his interest now is in empowering men to move forward and embrace progressive changes to their family relationships and their well-being. Owen, welcome back to Dads on the Air.
Yeah, good to be back, Bill, and good day to all your listeners.
Thank you. Owen, it's about a little over 3 years since we last spoke. I'd like to think that things have got better, but I imagine with the drought and a whole lot of other things going on, there's probably a lot of work still to do.
Look, I think there is, Bill, and there's all those natural adversities which occur across regional and rural Australia. Fires, droughts and floods make it a continuum of challenges to people's, you know, not only their livelihood but their well-being as well.
Could you tell us about your warrior education sessions? I mean, starting with, why do you call them warrior sessions?
Yeah, it's a good point, Bill, but look, we call all of us as blokes warriors, and I guess link back to the days of when traditionally we were warriors, the hunters and gatherers, but still in this modern day where we consider blokes still warriors because we like to win. We're still hardwired very strategically and different than the ladies, so we communicate differently and we have a propensity to take risks. And those three things really, you know, encapsulate what that warrior stuff is still about. And whether we're speaking with our young blokes or older blokes, my dad's age, for example, 82, we've still got that warrior in us, which it may be changing, but it's still how we're hardwired, and the DNA is, that's the way it is.
Well, that sounds like a bit of a battle. I'm just thinking in particular of risk-taking. I mean, farming is regarded as one of the high-risk areas to start with, and then you have all these other mental complications at the moment that are overlaying that.
Yeah, absolutely, and when we just put the other things into that, because that's a given, those things, the risk-taking and as part of the natural landscape, and then we just put the other things in there which challenge us along the way, and I think they challenge us a little bit more as blokes than ladies, and that's that loneliness and isolation and the fact that I'll get this job done and I can do it and I'll tough it out, because one of the most common things said to us in the work we do, Bill, to this day is, you know, I'll tough this out, I'm all right, and perhaps as a bloke we've got the propensity to say that I'm the only one in this spot. But when we put our arm on someone's shoulder and suggest that they're not alone and it's not just them, it is pretty reassuring for blokes. But one of the hardest things in our life as blokes is to be able to put up our hand and have that ability to question and acknowledge that I'm struggling, especially emotionally. And that's really linked back to that warrior, you know, the warrior capacity that we have.
You travel around Western Australia and into the regional areas, and you've got these nine topics with booklets and DVDs that you produce. I'm just looking at a few of them here. Well-being tips, social and spiritual well-being, communication is another big one. We just talked about risk-taking. So I wonder if you could just take us through a few of those that you get asked about most frequently in these sessions.
Yeah, look, a couple of the talks there, which are probably pretty, we're in Mental Health Week, and that are at the front of our minds are distress and why mental health matters. So around our mental well-being, we've got another talk there, which is looking after your mates, which is a suicide-based talk, which just gets us back to being primary carers, Bill. And I think that's a theme through all the talks, so whether we're risk-taking with the young fellas or our physical health, but especially around that distress and perhaps the suicide talk, looking after our mates, is the common thread and the common theme is that we have this role as primary carers, which is everyone at ground level and grassroots level, and that's in our family, our workplace, and or our community group. And we just try and push that so that we are constantly got our eyes and ears open, and of course we have to look after ourselves, but it's also very important that we just challenge ourselves to be aware of people around us and our really important role to put up our hand and perhaps just offer someone a little bit of advice and challenge them to be able to seek help. And that's always the million-dollar question.
Well, at the extreme end, you've got this very high rate of suicide in the farming community. Do you sometimes see signs with people attending your courses? Do you think this guy's a bit of a worry, better put some special effort in here?
Look, we do, Bill. You'll always have a chat with someone after our education session, no matter what education session it is, what warrior session we're at, and they'll want to talk and they'll exhibit some changes to their personality, which they will tell you about, because if people and blokes in particular feel in a safe place, they will expand. But the real difficulty with a lot of mental health issues and mental well-being issues, as we like to say, and a pointy end if we're talking about suicide, is that blokes are really good in particular compared to the ladies at what we call self-medicating, and people think that self-medicating is through drug, sex and rock and roll. But atypically, the self-medication for blokes is the fact that we will work harder, so we'll bunker down and go in our cave and work harder. And then secondly is that we'll tend to talk less and or grunt less. And when we're speaking to wives and mums about their husbands or their sons, one of the atypical things they will say is, geez, my son or my husband is talking less and or grunting less, which is quite often said to us. So it's really hard to pick up signs and symptoms unless we, of any mental wellbeing issue, unless we know that person and we're actively involved in them, whether that be in our family, the workplace, or that community group.
Yes, just looking as an outsider at this, it seems to me that there are a lot of risk factors among the people that you're dealing with. You know, it can be a lonely life. You've got access to the firearms, which is a big one, which city people wouldn't have. And they're working hard. There's big money involved sometimes as well, isn't there? And all this is just adding extra pressure on the individual farmer.
Oh, it definitely is. With the farmer and or small business, Bill, in rural and regional Australia is a tough gig. And we definitely have to be aware of those circumstances because it is tough, and the fact that we're blokes and warriors just adds to that risk and puts us right up there. You know, and we do just have to recognise that we treat our own mental well-being a little bit different than ladies. So, you know, through that lack of social connection, so we prune our social networks if we've got them to start with, and we're just not good communicators about when we're in pain. And if we could get a bit more of that connection with our blokes in particular, and that's our dads and people my age around middle age and the younger blokes, our sons, we will get some better outcomes in my opinion. It's a lot around language as well, Bill. And then when you add to farming, you add the curly question of farm succession and progression, and then it becomes really complicated.
So if you see someone who you think is on the brink or has a real problem, what's your immediate reaction? Do you try and get him involved in networks, or how do you deal with it?
We will actually ask the hard questions, and right up front, Bill, if someone is feeling safe in a conversation, they will tell you, and that takes a bit of the pressure off. So they will tell you where they're at, and they will even tell you if they've had suicidal ideation, but they will tell you that they've got a relationship issue or a financial issue. And then it's really important that we connect them to the right person, so whether that be financial relationship and or the GP is quite often the first port of call. But it is important too in our primary care role that we just understand, and that's all of us, that people do actually, and blokes in particular, do appreciate being asked and the fact that someone cares. And there's a lot of research around that says exactly that people really care. and to be shown, you know, to show that care by asking is really important. Whereas a lot of blokes, when we're talking to blokes, will say, "Oh, geez, he won't want me to pry, or won't want me to." But nothing could be further from the truth. Blokes in particular really appreciate the fact that someone does care and someone's bothered to ask. And sometimes we might have to ask that one, two, or three times. But as soon as we've got a connection, that follow up with blokes is really important. It might be just a phone call saying, "Did you get to the GP? Or have you seen person X about whatever the issue is?" And it's really powerful stuff.
Sometimes it might just be that simple question, "Are you okay?" which can lead on to something.
Yeah, look, absolutely, Bill. And there's some real good research in Australia, and it's been a longitudinal study for a long time, but is around the fact that we can help 9 out of 10 people through just listening, having a cuppa, or a hug, having a chat about life in its present form, whatever stuff you've got going on in your life. And so that's really powerful stuff, that we can help 9 out of 10 people that have had some form of trauma in their life via whatever means. And that's just you and me listening, chatting, and allowing people to tell their story. Because as we know, or we probably don't know, but everyone wants to tell their story at some point. Doesn't matter whether we're old or young, blokes still want to tell their story.
Yep, and everyone's got a story. We're speaking today with Owen Cato, who is the Senior Community Educator and Executive Officer of the Regional Men's Health Initiative, WA. We might take a short break now. We're going to listen to a song by the Beatles called "You've Got to Hide Your Love Away."
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling 2 foot small. Everywhere people stare, each and every day. I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say, "Hey, you've got to hide your love away."
We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And we're speaking today with Owen Cato, Senior Community Educator and Executive Officer of the Regional Men's Health Initiative, WA. So, Owen, one of the things you mentioned a little while ago is what you call progression planning. I think we often think of that in terms of succession planning, but you've changed the emphasis there, and it's really becoming a problem from what I see.
It is, Bill, and it's been widespread for a while, but it's because there is less and less of us or farmers at the coal face, it is a real issue, and because of the wealth involved, I think it's a real issue. And I guess we've just coined that word a little bit around. It's still succession, but it's just kind of moving it on, because succession to me indicates that, you know, the king is dead, or who is the next king. Whereas progression, I reckon, allows a whole lot of other options to come into play, which may be downsizing, selling the farm, leasing, doing share farming, doing whatever, rather than have a sibling take over. And there's a lot of people out there without siblings to one that want to take over that, and or they haven't got the siblings. So yeah, we need to have a look at the issue too, I guess, Bill, from the point of view that we think it's around relationships. And the relationship issue, too often, I call them experts, but whether that be the farm consultant or the accountant or the legal eagle, actually want to start from the legal structure or the numbers of the business. Whereas what we say is that we need to establish the relationships first, and then the other things, the numbers and the structures going forward, will fall into place. But if we haven't got a relationship base, or we can't get a relationship base into the conversation, as much as I'm talking on the radio now with yourself, Bill, and your listeners, we just know it won't work. And we've got plenty of case examples of that where people have pushed through, but they've been at war with each other. So whether that's sons and their dads, or the two brothers in a farming relationship or whatever, if we can't establish that relationship base and discuss it firstly on that level, well, it's going to be even really tougher to make it work.
Talking about such a highly emotional area, talking about people putting their lives into a property. Then you've got the distribution. How is it going to be fairly distributed? It's an enormous issue. And I was just going to ask you about one where it went horribly wrong, the Rodney Vlahov matter out of Geraldton. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, we definitely are, Bill. And look, Progressions Session was attached to that scenario, which was horrible. However, there's other implications involved in that case. But if you just peel off the one little bit about the farm succession progression, it can be just one of those relationship issues which is the tipping point.
There were three brothers, and one of them had tragic consequences for one of them, and the families are still ripped apart, no doubt, by that. And I just wonder if you could have got in earlier and started talking about relationships between the surviving siblings before it got this far. Maybe it wouldn't have got this far.
No, absolutely, Bill, and I think that we've been at the pointy end of many farm succession and progression cases where, the relationships are buggered full stop from that process, which is just really, really, really unfortunate. And that's part of the reason that we talk about progression and succession from this relationship point of view, because if people had put the effort into talking about that rather than going to the pointy end of numbers or structures, well, we would have a lot better. Well, I've got no doubt we will have saved lives as well as had better positive and productive outcomes to that farm succession plan.
At a not such an extreme level, but I actually have a couple of friends who have been caught up in this progression planning problem, and it has split the family. It's probably not unusual, but in one case, my friend feels that he worked for years as a type of slave labour on an understanding that he'd be looked after. When his father died, it finished up going to his mother, and then it was dissipated elsewhere, and he always feels cheated because all that work for so many years for almost no pay has never been recognised, and I imagine that happens fairly frequently.
Yeah, absolutely, Bill, and it really is sad to hear. There's plenty of cases of where, blokes that have been on the farm for 25 and 30 years and 40 years, and one day this will be yours,
yes,
son, or one day this will be yours, and it just, we know upon the death of a partner, whether that be a mum or dad or both, and we've had cases here in West Australia where the bloke's been on the farm and for 40 years and got two sisters, and mum and dad die in quick succession, and because there hasn't been discussed or documented will, which doesn't have to be in detail, but the sisters are gone, well, I'm part of this and I want some of the pie, and they've got some of the pie. So I reckon we've got to step back, Bill, and what we say, and which is the part of the relationship part of succession and progression planning is discussing about, firstly, what is the farm, and we think it's three things. It's the farm business, it's the land, and then the people in the farming business. Then we go on to what stakeholders or who is involved, and really that's sometimes I've sat around a table where the son, who's 30, and his dad, who's 60, the son hasn't realised that grandpa, who's 92, still his name on the titles and still involved in the farm business, and he just thought he was dealing with dad. So, we need to just, from a young age, work out who is involved and have a meeting with all the siblings, and because we ignore the all those stakeholders at our own peril. But if it's discussed early and established early, it is really simple, and we need to work on that. And then I think the real big thing, Bill, that we miss with the whole equation is that this process of progression succession planning is coming from the generation that owns the wealth and controls the wealth, and usually that is unashamedly the older generation. And what we find in the work we do is quite often that the older generation haven't answered questions to themselves. So the husband and wife, or just the husband, before they've actually, their consultant or their accountant might have drawn up a plan which involves the numbers and the structures, but they actually haven't answered the questions, and some key questions like, what do you want to retire from? When do you want to retire? Where do you want to retire? What is life going to look like after the farm? Which is really, really difficult for a lot of older generation and people that have got that attachment to the land. So it's not only what I'm going to do in the future around that, who I am as an individual and what makes me tick. But if I've only got the farm And to establish what that's going to look like after that, if I don't put any work into it, is going to be really problematic. So they're the kind of questions, Bill, that we talk about under the relationship banner that aren't quite often answered. And we've I've sat around and done an education session, and 30 and 40 people and a couple of families have come up after and said, I'm glad we've heard what you're saying, Owen, because we were going to sign off on a succession plan and we haven't answered those questions for ourselves. You know, that's something that we've really got to make sure we do early, and it might take 2 to 3 to 4 or 5 years to answer those as the older generation, but you've got to answer them so you can successfully establish that relationship base.
If a young fellow is working away with that understanding we talked about, you know, someday this will all be yours, or, you know, you'll be looked after or something along those lines, he needs to get in touch with you or someone like you to get this process moving.
Yeah, look, we do. And people say, like, when kids leave school, but I just say when we're in our siblings, or whether we're in that 25-year age, before we make some big commitments, we actually have to know what that older generation are doing, Bill, so that we can plan our way. Because as the younger generation, you know, we need to be able to do that. And I always say my dad was a bit before his time, I think, when we were on the farm. Because when I went home to the farm, my brother was leaving, and I went home to the farm, and Dad actually gave me 10% of the business of farming. Which at the time wasn't much, but it was exciting because I was involved in the business, the farming. It involved no land ownership or anything like that, because that was in the trust for the family. But I actually got to go home and start with 10% in the business of farming, and that empowers you. And then from there, the discussions went from there. So it really is important that we have the conversation, and the people in the farming business have that conversation.
Look, just another one quickly. Another friend, his wife actually was cut out because the father decided the farm should go to the boys. Do you hear that a lot?
Look, we hear that a lot, and where a girl or a daughter, say, is involved in the farm, she might get not as much as the boys either, or the family name might not be able to be kept on the farm gate. But, you know, that's extrapolating a bit further. But where the mums or the wives that have been combined farming with their husband for 50 or 100 years... And they don't get to participate in the wealth pie. Yeah, we just see that happen too often, Bill. And this process is unashamedly of how we can get that older generation, who are usually the wealth creators and have, you know, endured a fair tough time at what they're doing, an appropriate settlement ultimately out of the whole equation.
Yes, look, it's such an important topic for all of us at the moment. But we've reached the stage of the show, Owen, where we ask our guests to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which song you've picked and why?
Yeah, look, I do like a song called Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin, and I just reckon there's some words in there, because I'm not a big music listener, Bill, but I like to listen to the lyrics, and there's just some words in there about our children and our sons, and putting time into our children. And I think that's pretty pertinent to what we're talking about today, because we have to make sure that we do.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know. Son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. Said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. Coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then.
really came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'm feeling like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time then.
And that was Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin, specially chosen for us today by our special guest Owen Catto, who is the Senior Community Educator and Executive Officer of the Regional Men's Health Initiative in WA. So it just remains for me now to thank our special guest. Owen, thank you very much for being on Dad's on the Air again.
Oh, look, thanks, Bill, and any time around chatting. And just for your listeners out there, we have got a little booklet entitled Progression Planning, and if anyone wants to get in contact with us, doesn't matter where they are in Australia, we can mail that out to them so they can have a look.
That'll be on our website, and don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to that website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email. We'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll be back next week with another show on Dad's on the Air.